This morning, as we approach the Lord's table, I'd like us to look at Psalm 49. Psalm 49. If you're a believer, I want to remind you this morning of who saved you. As we look at this psalm together, I want to reintroduce you to your Savior in a sense, so that you see who it took to rescue you from the power of death. Psalm 49 affords us that opportunity. In this psalm, the sons of Korah comfort themselves by speaking truth to themselves. They don't want to fear being surrounded by wicked people who are very rich and very powerful. They don't want to be afraid of those who might be able to sway justice with a bribe or to make their lives hard because they have the resources to do it. So instead of being afraid, they remind themselves of lots of truth. Let's look at what they call to mind in verses 7 through 9 in Psalm 49. Here they say, "Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. Why? For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit." These writers fight fear by fixing their thoughts on eternity. Can you see that in these verses? Maybe you've read this before and just glossed over the words. But let's look again. The words life and live are repeated a total of 3 times here in these 3 verses. Verse 7 mentions a price that God requires for this life. Verse 8 again mentions a ransom that's required for man's life. And verse 9 speaks about living on forever. These psalmists are thinking about eternal life, not temporary life. A life that doesn't end where you get to bypass the natural effects of death. And what do they have to say about this everlasting life? Well, they remember that it can't be bought. They remind themselves of the futility of riches. In light of all their enemies' riches can do, what their enemies' riches can do, they remind themselves that wealth cannot ransom a man from the grave. Men's riches can't buy eternal life, not for their friends, according to verse 7, and they can't even buy eternal life for themselves. Why? Well, the price is too high. The ransom of their life is too costly. So no amount of wealth can rescue men from the grave or the grave effects of sin, is what this passage teaches us. The pit is our inescapable destiny if we have to use our own resources to escape it. We're hopeless on our own. Even the people who have everything don't have what it takes to buy eternal life. So what's the solution? The psalmists also know what that is. Skip down to verse 12. It says, "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me." It takes more than a mere man to pay the price so that others have eternal life. It would take God himself paying the ransom price. Truly, no man can ransom another, which is why Jesus can say in Mark 10:45, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Truly, no man can ransom another. So obviously, Jesus is more than just a mere man. When you take communion, remember that your situation from birth was so desperate that it took God himself to rescue you from it. If we were to scour the earth and find everything of any value whatsoever and pull that together and bring it to God so that he would save the most moral of sinners, he would look at it and say, "That's not enough. The price is too high." 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 says, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. The Creator, who is of infinite worth, became a man of infinite worthiness, and he had precious blood. When Jesus bled as he suffered and died, he was paying the price that no man could ever pay to God, in order that in return sinners would have eternal life. Everyone who trusts in Christ's death, that his death was sufficient, that they don't have anything to bring to the table, they are recipients of this eternal life that Jesus purchased. Communion is our opportunity to celebrate that truth. But some of you here may not believe that. Maybe not yet. Maybe you're still thinking that there's something about you that would make God want to save you. Or maybe you think that Jesus was something short of God, a prophet or a good teacher. I would just ask that if that's you today, don't take the bread and juice when they come down your row. This is for believers who understand what it took to save them, who want to proclaim that now. But instead, it would be a good time to examine what Scripture says about Jesus and consider what it is that you're hoping in that is so valuable in your opinion that it would cause God to change his mind about you. Hopefully, if you consider that, then you'll forsake whatever you're putting your hope in and cling to Christ. So whether you're a member or a visitor, as the bread and the juice come, if you're trusting in Christ alone for salvation, then take communion on your own when you're ready. Amen.